Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast-forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wendy's new classic chicken sandwich is now in the 2 for $5. And that's reason to celebrate. Try the new classic and then take your mouth on a victory lap with the iconic Dave's single. The delicious spicy chicken sandwich, spicy or crispy 10-piece nuggets, or just get another classic chicken sandwich. Taste greatness today with Wendy's 2 for $5. We got you.
For a limited time, a la carte only. Price and participation may vary. U.S. Wendy's.
Hinda, Barmini, welcome to a special edition of Podcast and Chill. Today we're going to be talking about issues that young people are facing each and every day. I'm talking about sexual reproductive health, gender-based violence, and a whole lot more. And luckily, I'm not alone today. I'm going to be joined by some very young influencers, and I'm going to be joined by Tippy, so from the National Department of Health, to shed some light and shed their stance on these issues. So yeah, get ready for jam-packed show. So much happening, so little time. Hashtag unscripted normal. If it is your first time tuning into the show, make sure you do subscribe to my channel. Make sure you like it, and you can also share. All right, so Lebogang, your journey starts online. Take me back to that tweet that you put out. What was going through your mind? What was happening?
Basically, I just wanted to know how other people are feeling about this whole COVID-19 and the use of contraceptives. Because I basically went with my girlfriend to the clinic. She was getting her pills, and I was getting condoms for myself. And then what happened is that they told us that we need to be screened for COVID-19. And my question was, but now we are coming here to only get contraceptives. And what is the reason for us to be screened or tested for COVID-19? But then they explained that it's a procedure that needs to happen. So I wanted to know what other people are thinking about this whole thing and the use of contraceptives.
And since that tweet, what are people saying? How are they feeling?
From that tweet, people are like, okay, it's just a standard procedure to be screened for COVID-19. It's just them checking your temperature, asking you a few questions, if you have had any symptoms of the virus and everything, you know, because you must know that we were on level 5 and everyone was at home. So me and my girl, we were like indoors all the time. And when my condoms finished and her pills, and it was like her date to go and fetch her pills. So we decided that let's go together and then let's just see. But then to our surprise, it was that we were told that we need to be screened for that. But people, like I can see from the tweet, the response that I was getting from my followers is that no, it's a standard procedure. You don't have to worry about anything, you know. And then, yeah, that was it.
All right, cool. I want to bring in Clement. You might know him from Scheme Sam. Because he is also in a committed relationship. He's married, and contraceptives play a very big deal in their relationships. Clement, how are you, my brother?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
Great, man. I'm here with Lebogang, and I just wanted to find out from you, first of all, whose decision was it to introduce contraceptives in your marriage?
I think, and I hope you understand, it was coming from both of us because, you know, I already have a child, right? And we started talking about family planning. And I wanted, you know, when you are in a committed relationship, you always need to make sure that both parties are on the same page and you agree on whatever is affecting your future. So I was like, yo, yes, now we have a child, but can we afford more kids? You know, and the answer was like, not at the moment, because we're still trying to balance career as well. You know, it's like, okay, no, we're doing well for now, but maybe we should wait a bit more before we can get, you know, more kids. And then now it was a matter of then how do we make sure that we eliminate an element of surprise whereby we wake up one day and we're like, ah, baby, we are expecting, you know, and especially during this lockdown, because, you know, there's plenty of time where we quarantine together and sometimes we just watching movies and, you know, enjoying each other's company. So it was very important to start talking about contraceptives. Even though some guys said to me on, I can't remember if it was Twitter or Facebook, saying, ah, Mara, when almost you are married, you mustn't talk about contraceptives. I was like, your family planning is very important. So that decision, I think, came from both of us to say, let's be on contraceptives to try and make sure that we can have a child when we are ready to have a child.
And do you think that's why, as black people, we have so many kids? Because it seems as taboo to talk about contraceptives, like you're saying, you know, especially when you're married.
Yeah. I think it's lack of information, especially from where I come from. I'm a villager, and a lot of people and the youth, especially back at home, they don't have access to information. Even now, they don't know that you can go to your nearest clinic and, you know, get contraceptives. Because the lockdown regulations gazetted says that you can have access to health services even during lockdown. So a lot of our youth are not exposed to such information. So that's why they end up maybe, you know, having kids, or maybe the rate of teenage pregnancy is high at some areas.
All right. I want to bring in Dr. Moose. He's a TV personality. He's a doctor, of course. And also, he's Melissa Kikawa's former son.
He's a medical doctor.
Can you respect
me? How are you, Dr. Moose? Are you good?
I love him kicking, gents. I hear you guys have been having a lot of fun without me, but I'm here now.
Yeah, man, let's just start off with, for you as a doctor, what is the importance of contraceptives in your field?
So the important thing for contraceptives with regard to us more medically is, I think the major component of it is a family planning one, where we want women to have the choice to be able to say when they want to have their children, and therefore make informed decisions about when that will be. So if you're sitting there, you're young, you still have things that you want to achieve in your life, you want to go work, you want to go get married, whatever it might be for you, we want you to be able to make that decision about when you want to have your children. And then, of course, you know, contraceptives have got additional effects that they have for the people that do use them, barring any contraindications or any reasons why you shouldn't be on that medication. They really do help out in those conditions as well. So we really, really do encourage women to go out there and get on a family planning sort of contraceptive method.
Wow, Musa, is this you? Last time...
I think you have to put on his medical hat now.
Yeah. I'm expecting you to link to a cartoon or something.
I can do that too.
No, I'm kidding, man. So tell us about some of the misinformation, like you're saying, about contraceptives. Because I've heard girls say, like, you know, I don't want to use it because some of the side effects is gaining weight.
So, look, there are side effects, and it's important to recognize the different side effects that come with the different types of contraception that you are wanting to get on. So that's a very important thing that you must know. So it's very important when you go to the clinic, when you go see your doctor, that you do say, listen, this is my health profile. I'm allergic to A, B, C, and D. I've got this family history of such and such, so that they get a full profile of you so they can put you on the right contraceptive device for you. And I mean, these range generally from things that you'd want to use. We all know about, you know, condoms for males and females, but you also get other things such as tablets, you get injectables, you get implants that you can put in your body, you put IUDs that you could use as well. So there are a number of contraceptive devices that can be used by people that want to engage in contraceptive use, but it's important to know which one works best for you and what will work best for your body. And therefore, when you know what will work for you, you can pick the one that's got the least amount of side effects that you can experience. But the nice thing about it is that it's contraceptive. So the moment you realize that it's not working well for you, or your body is not receiving it the way that you'd anticipate it to be received, then you can always change to another method, because that always works as well. So it sometimes requires a bit of figuring out what can work, what's going to work. But some people just get it right the first time, and I have been on their one contraceptive for the longest time. So you also spoke about the misconceptions that people have around contraceptives. A big one is that, no, it never works or isn't as effective at all times, and you end up getting pregnant whether you're on it or not. I mean, there are different types of contraception. An important one, I think, with regards especially to lockdown, next week is opening up. We know what that means, right? People are going to visit. So if you are someone that was on a contraceptive, or you ended up defaulting, or have never been on a contraceptive and you're going to engage in sexual activity, it's important to know that on top of just the normal contraceptive that you can be on, there is also emergency contraception. So this is the pill that you can buy at the pharmacy that will help you in an emergency situation within that 3-day period after you've had unprotected sex, or a condom has burst, or, you know, you were in the heat of the moment. Whatever it might be for you, there are many options available to you to prevent you not wanting children, that, or not having children you don't want.
All right, let me start with Lebogang. What question do you have for Dr. Moose?
With regards to condoms, are condoms considered as a contraceptive? Because my friends, some didn't respond like on the tweet, but they saw it and then they called me like, why am I going to get contraceptives? And I told them that condom, it's part of a contraceptive. So can you please clear that up in regards to that? Are condoms regarded as contraceptives?
Yeah, so condoms are regarded as a contraceptive method. So contraception by nature, by definition, is the prevention of something. So the condoms, and the nice thing about condoms is that they prevent two things in this case. So you're preventing a pregnancy in this case, and also you're preventing getting STIs or STDs in this situation. So a lot of people say they're on contraceptives, so they'll take their pill, but won't be doing things like being on PrEP. They won't be using condoms and things such as that. That will make them be at a higher chance of getting STIs and STDs. So condoms, male and female, are contraceptive devices that you can use to prevent you getting pregnant, but also prevent you getting STIs.
STIs.
Okay, right. Cool.
No, thank
and
you.
Clement, what question do you have for Dr. Moose?
For me, firstly, I think he's aware of the sexual reproductive health rights. And I just need to know from him if he thinks that the youth are aware of that and if they are exercising that. But secondly, I think a lot of people do want to go to the health centers, right? But there's this stigma around COVID where they feel like, I'm going there just to get my contraceptives, but now they want to screen me for corona, and, you know, I'm not sure if I want to know whether I have it or not. So what kind of advice does he have for the youth who are in that kind of mentality?
Yeah, so a number of things to address there. The first bit is access to information or knowing something is not bad for you. So people that say, I might have corona, but I don't want to go confirm it, that doesn't help you at all, because all you do is you sit there without information and you have anxiety and you're worried, and it perpetuates this thing in your head of you not knowing, which doesn't help you with anything. I mean, we're all Gen Z. We've all done an HIV test before in our lives. Now, even if you hadn't had sex for 4 years, when you go test for HIV, you are panicking. Your heart is doing this the whole time. You're sitting there waiting for the result to come out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the reality of the matter. Even if you know you haven't done anything, you know. And that's the reality of life. So the same thing can be said about coronavirus, is that when you are scared that, hey, listen, hey, I'm feeling a bit of a scratchy throat, or hey, someone was coughing around me yesterday, going to the facility and getting screened literally is just a basic screening process. If we consider you someone who is a person under investigation or someone that we have an interest in because your neighbor who you chatted to for 30 minutes last week without wearing masks, you know, there we start thinking, okay, there may be things that we need to check for here, and then we'll do the actual test to diagnose the coronavirus at this point in time. So that's one element. But the one about the sexual reproductive rights is a very important one to note as well, because there it's, look, we live in South Africa where sexual liberation and sexual discussions are very tricky to have. As a young person, you may not find it easy to walk into a facility at the age of 15 because you feel like you want to have sex. You and your girlfriend have decided as 15-year-olds that you guys want to have sex. You're going to find it very difficult to go to a health facility and say, hi, we would like to get condoms. I'd like my girlfriend, who we've also agreed on, she would also like to get onto a contraceptive device. I want to take condoms home so that we can go have this consensual sex that we want to have amongst ourselves. That's a very difficult thing to have, especially also in and around discussions around you talking to your parents about sex. And the issue is the communities that we live in also have us going to the facilities that are within our community, because it doesn't make sense for me to leave Soweto to drive to Tembisa just so I can go get condoms and family planning, because I don't want people to see me in my neighborhood that I'm having sex. We need to create an environment within our health system that allows young people at any age that they feel they want to have sex at, or any age they feel they want to go collect contraceptives, that they should walk into any facility and be able to get youth friendly services from these facilities that can help them in all aspects. For you as a 15-year-old to say, I want to have sex, this decision that I have made, and I want to talk to this nurse and this doctor about getting onto something. If they don't reciprocate a friendly, open discussion with me, it makes it tricky for me to say, hey, maybe I should use condoms. What you end up doing is you say, you know what, I'm just going to take Nomasondo. We're going to go to my back room, in my cousin's back room somewhere, and we're going to have sex because I'm too scared of what's going to happen when I get to the clinic. They're going to ask me way too many questions. They're not going to want to help me. They're going to tell me, no, you're too young to be having sex. And we forget that all of the stuff is personal. I mean, sexual reproductive health rights are personal things. No one should infringe upon that. That's my belief on it. So if you want to do something and are of age and you should be doing it and can be doing it, go ahead. But we need to, as a health system, support you in all the ways that we can and should help you.
Wow, nicely said. Just in closing, Lebogang, what do you want to say?
Oh, well, from my side, the information that just received from the gents, from Clement and Musa, I think I'm going to use it going forward and to educate other people within my community, because I stay in Soweto and Tipu, so I will try and communicate and engage with other youth members within my area, so to hear what they say or what they think regarding this matter. But in closing, I'd like to thank Musa and Clement, especially Musa. The information that you just gave out now, it's proper information.
All right, and for you, Clement, your last words, what do you want to say?
For me, I think my message should be to young people who are so energetic and active when it comes to sexual pleasure, that you still have the right to access health centers, and you can continue your health routines as before COVID-19. So a lot of people now, if they were on contraceptives, for an example, they might think that, oh, because of COVID now, I must just stay home and not use protection or contraceptives. So I'm saying to them that you are still allowed to continue your sexual routines as normal for as long as you exercise precautions and we all follow the regulations as gazetted in the as gazetted by the government, rather, to continue going to medical centers and clinics around us and exercise proper care.
Fantastic. And are we planning on having another baby soon?
In future, yes. I think I need a lot, actually. I think I really need a lot. But I said earlier on, that family planning is very important. And yeah, I can't wait for Musa to also join in.
Yeah, what is your situation, Musa? Are you using contraception? Or are you busy there,
have fun,
Chief?
Have fun there by yourselves, boys. Can I tell you something? There seems to be a very strong agenda from the people that have children this agenda to make other people have children as well. And we are okay. We don't mind being uncles. It's really fine for us to go play with the child for 20 minutes on a Saturday and be out of there before the child starts crying. We're okay with that. We don't need anything else. When we are done and are thinking about our family planning for the future, yeah, then maybe we'll have children. But for now, we're okay.
All right,
now, Dr. Moose. Your decisions, Doctor.
Thank you, man. Any last words from you, Dr. Moose?
Mine is simple. I think we need to start destigmatizing sex, one. And I say destigmatize because there's this bad thing that we've thrown around sex. And sex is a natural, normal thing that happens whether we like it or not. So destigmatize it. Start having frank and open discussions in and around it. I like what we've done in this four-parter here with the four of us being available. That as guys, we also need to discuss contraception. Where amongst ourselves, the only contraception guys ever discuss is the morning after, which makes no sense to me. Where the only discussion amongst four guys will be morning after. It's never condoms. It's never, hey, me and my girlfriend have decided that we want to go discuss or go to the family planning clinic and sit down with your girlfriend next to the nurse and say, yeah, what are the options? We need to have these frank discussions in and around whole thing that is sexual reproductive rights. And after all of that, then we can move forward. After we've allowed conversations to flow, conversations to occur, then people will realize that sex isn't this taboo, mythical thing that should be hidden underneath the sheet, but should be openly discussed so that it is normal and known, and then people will feel a lot more freer about going to facilities and collecting what they should be getting to protect themselves.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Guys, thank you so much for taking time out to speak with me today. Really enjoyed it. It was very fruitful. And I hope a lot of people watching this enjoyed it as much as I did. Stay safe. Keep loving life. Appreciate so much, man.
Thank you so much, man.
All right, so joining me right now to continue the discussion on sexual reproductive health rights, I'm joined by Kiabe Etsui. Who's an online influencer. She probably has the most famous tweet of all time. Joaquin. How are you, Kia?
I'm good, thanks. And how are you? I can't complain.
Great, man. Listen, before we talk about sexual reproductive health rights, I want to ask you about your tweet with Joaquin. I'm sure it's changed your life, eh? Like, do you remember when you first put it out?
People always ask me this question and I don't know how to answer because like it's like they're expecting something more than what I'm giving them. But it was on the 5th of January, like 2019, you know, and I was sitting in the kitchen and then I asked, like there was no plan of execution, much thought put into my head. I just asked and then, yeah, when it started, people was like saying lighthearted things like Bajuwaki the mosquito, Bajuwaki Bajuwaki. And then getting into the tweet, I think that's when it started getting a bit deep because people were like venting and using it as a platform to seek help, you know. Yeah.
And do you remember the first celebrity to comment on that tweet?
I can't remember, but I know Casper Nyovest, some of them didn't even comment on it. They like spoke about it, like, yo, that Ojiwaking is heavy. Like I know Maps Mwaponyane was like, yo, that was a heavy tweet. Casper Nyovest has been the one that's been actively speaking on Ojiwaking. And then I think, yo, I can't remember, but I think a lot of celebrities had a lot to say about it.
All right.
And yeah, a lot of celebrities blocked me as well.
All right. Kia, once again, thank you so much for joining me today.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, let's chat about sexual reproductive health rights. What's your take on it?
Okay, so my take on it is that choosing to gain knowledge in terms of one's sexuality, you know, and sexual reproductive health and rights is one's state of mind. And I don't think it exists in isolation of your mindset. You know, just as good health is a person being in a state of complete mental, physical, social, and, you know, just emotional well-being, so is true sexual health. And I think a lot of people are just misinformed in terms of what sexual health really is. You know, and I posed a question today on Twitter, and then I asked them, what do you think what does sexual health mean to you? And I've got some interesting answers, you know, but a lot of people also had, if I can say, a lot to say about what sexual health is in terms of it being knowing your status, it being the prevention and treatment of STIs, also it being you taking the responsibility to take protection for yourself. And to say that, and then I sleep with someone asa so dealing ho na o joang bo phelong ka pasa asa nkeleng dikgato tsa rona o itlhokomela jang bo phelong. Someone also said it's sleeping with sexual health means sleeping with one person because ha tsebo rona batho ba tsama ka e what spirits they carry. And I think what I liked most about the answers that I got from my question was a lot of people actually went to the internet. Well, this is babala, but siba horena ebulela ing, and then came back to my tweet to write on sexual health again. And then one person ahugela hona arekia was saying, na negina hana kufela sexual health again. Amuto ahabala, limuto aywan kapo. Amuto ahabala le limuto ahealthy. Well, this is marekia. This is horena tweet. It's hanti ebe toya butalo. Do you understand? And again, and a lot of people haba sotil leka haba intele kato. Yeah, my pillow on a couple into like got it about in Kanka, And then one interesting answer that I also liked was that sexual health requires a positive and respectful approach to sexuality and sexual relationships, you know, as well as the possibility of a pleasurable and safe sexual experience, free of coercion, discrimination and violence. Ke ka ho ke dumelang hore le hape ho bohlokwa hore batho ba botswe botso tsena na and tlhahiso e be teng ya ntho tse tsena tse bohlokwa bophelong. And social media does play quite a huge role in doing that. Quite a huge role in asking a lot of questions that people don't necessarily always ask themselves as well. So yeah.
And I like the fact that you bring up social media. As a social media influencer, what part do you think you have to play in spreading the message about sexual reproductive rights?
In terms of also being an influencer, you get to choose what you want to put out. Information e jwang but bona bana ba gona ho nka qeto hore ba ntse information yo jwang. So as a socialite myself, if I'm given the opportunity to speak about social or just even mental health, social stuff, I do that, you know, because it's quite important as I have quite a reach and a wide audience. So social media does play quite a huge role in that. Hobane batho on social media.
And what advice can you bring, can you give to young people out there who might be suffering from mental health but, you know, can't find the ways and means to speak out about it?
Sometimes it's advisable to speak to a stranger because they'll judge them, you know, when you speak to someone that you know. But speaking out is definitely what I'd advise. I think there's a depression and anxiety group on Twitter. It's called South African Depression and something group, SADAG, on Twitter. Whenever someone speaks about hints or about to commit suicide, I usually tag that account and Tusa.
All right. And lastly, I'm sure when you are on social media, as we've all seen on Twitter, a lot of GBV cases and files and tweets come up. What's your take on that, on gender-based violence? What do you think, Eskia?
Yo, we see quite a lot of that, especially myself, especially on Ojoaki Inc, because people speak about things, unimaginable things, you know, and that's where they often seek help as well. So my take on it is, ubu women, like, hot hadane, ubu. But do it, you know, in terms of gender-based violence. And it's a hala haholo. Kibone it's a hala haholo ele family. It's a tanka family, you know. Because I got a tweet not so long ago, actually. It was a neighbor ona bua hore me wa ka next door o shapuwa ke mwana hai wa mo rape mare maponesa ha fitla ha ba botsa meo wa hana. So if you don't speak up, I don't think you are prone to getting the help that you need. So speaking up is quite important, vital, if I can say.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for those wise words. Long may Ujua King continue. But just in closing,
thank you.
I need to ask you a question, a very fundamental question, a question that I think everybody wants to ask you.
Yeah.
When na Ujua King?
Hona jale na ke jwa ke lockdown hle wa ka ha khatetse hle a bona kutlile di je di a fela go di je khatetse go nna go le note na motho ha sa wa jella ho tlala o jella ba no jwa ke bodutu o itse se se ke ntse jang di sleeping pattern di fe di senye ile go go di be no di se ke ntse jang so ke jwa ke lockdown bona me ji o jwa ke ma.
Hey, who taught about us? Too much. How much time do you have?
A lot. Sorry?
No, I'm saying there's too much. How much time do you have? And you should be asking me. You should be asking me, Kijua Kimang.
Oh!
Kia, thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure always chatting to you, and good luck with
thank
all your
you
future
so much.
Adventures.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Cheers.
My name is Tepiso Machawa Pala. Yes, I'm a gender focal person from the National Department of Health.
Can we start with your job? What does it entail? Tell us more about your job.
Okay, being a gender focal person means you have a policy oversight role. It entails that you have to ensure that the organization is aligned with both the international and the national prescript. Nationally, you have to ensure that the organization is aligned with the Gender Equality Act. And then internationally, you have to observe prescripts such as CEDAW, such as startup protocols, such as Beijing platforms. So you always have to be in check with what is the international and what is in the international platforms in terms of the legislations and prescripts. Yes, and ensure that the organization in terms of programs, project, policies, they are aligned with such policies.
All right, let's. I want to talk about contraceptives, and then later on we'll talk about gender-based violence. But let's start with contraceptives. As young people, you know, you've seen on social media, they've had a lot to say about contraceptives and access to the clinic during this time. What is your stance as the National Department of Health regarding adhering to contraceptives?
Sexual and reproductive health and rights are human rights. You know that. And then, yes, there should be access to contraceptives for young people and adolescent people. But we know that we had a challenge during the lockdown where most of the focus was around the COVID-19 and the awareness around COVID-19 and the lockdown and movement was limited and restricted. So yes, it was important for people to continue with their contraceptives, because if they defaulted, then that means we're going to have a high rate of teenage pregnancies because they would have stayed at home, they'll be lingering around. But then we are not also expecting them to experience such, because we would expect them to have stayed at home and have been safe. Yes. But then we are still saying, because contraceptives, they have timelines, you have to go, some they need you to go there for every 3 months, some need you to go there every month. So therefore, we're expecting you to have adhered to whatever is required per your contraceptive, unless if you have the IUD or a long-term kind of contraceptives.
And has there been a rise in the number of young people taking contraceptives during the lockdown?
At this moment, I would not be able to confirm because I don't have the data towards that, but I would expect that it should be normal or minimal because of the movement that was limited. Remember, other young people are on contraceptives while their parents don't know, and some are still afraid to inform their parents that they're using contraceptives. So you find that there's a situation or complexity of the situation whereby young people are not going to do their uptake because of that situation. Like when they're at school, it's not as simple as when they're home. So yes, where there's freedom for them to access, yeah, I suppose they've been accessing them because it was available. It was not closed down, yes.
And what other measures is the department putting in place to make sure that access to clinics is adhered to by young people?
We have different platforms like BeWise and She Conquers kind of website where people can, where young people can access information on the youth zones and how they can access their services from the clinic. We also have Love Life. Love Life is quite dominant in terms of accessing young people and helping young people to access health services. So we are not having much of the challenge with young people, except young people, them opening themselves up to access such platforms to communicate their needs. But BeWise is very much advanced and good in terms of young people being able to go on the web and then communicate and converse their challenges. So I would not think we would have much of a challenge because we are already ahead before even the COVID-19 situation, to reach young people in terms of social media.
And what are some of the stats? I want to talk about gender-based violence here now for a second. What are some of the stats regarding that? And what is the department's stance against GBV?
The statistic in terms of gender-based violence is said to be very high. The command center, call center, it's reporting that the call-in of the people who are suffering from gender-based violence, both psychologically, emotionally, and physically, has gone up. I don't have the command center's information in terms of the data they are communicating towards, but then I know that the reporting is very high at this time, and the call-in is very high. And there's a challenge whereby the issues of social distancing is giving some form of challenge with shelters and safety homes, and whereby people are afraid to report. Like there's a form of underreporting in terms of women who are being abused at home. Some people are afraid that they're going to lose their jobs, so they're going to depend on the very same person who's abusing them at home. So those kind of challenges that are faced at the moment. There are lots of dilemmas that comes with COVID-19, especially with reporting gender-based violence. And if you don't know if you're supposed to be dependent on the very same person who's abusing you, or you're going to continue working, because we know that lots of jobs are going to be shared, lots of stress is going to escalate. Even the abusers themselves, some people are going through psychological and emotional stress because some people are not going to be able to provide for their families. And we read and we get to know that some people, because of the lack of alcohol consumption, they become depressed and they are taking their partners because they were drowning their stresses on alcohol. But then at the same time, we also get the reports that gender-based violence has actually gone a little bit down because of lack of availability of alcohol, because some people, they consume alcohol and therefore they abuse their partners. So those are the variant issues that are being presented in terms of this situation during the period of the lockdown. But we are still to see to it as to whether the stats has really gone up, or if it's only the issue of psychological abuse. But we do hear and there whereby children are actually being abused. And then with children, the vulnerability is very high, because if they are locked down with the very same person who's abusing them, they're not able to run to the nearest people to report, because they are with that person like full time. So those are some of the challenges in terms of accessing people who are being abused, and how do people even within the civil society access them is another challenge.
Now, I just want you to forget about your title for a second. And mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question as, you know, Tippi, so the person, a young black African female woman in this world, where do you think, from your experiences, GBV stems from? And how can we as a society stand up against it?
Gender-based violence stems from different perspectives and situations. Like, to start with, when I say perspectives, I'm saying when you're talking gender equality, remember there are people who are actually revolting against the issue of gender equality, who feels like women are coming in to take over their jobs. My perspective is that I think it's sort of a revenge towards the situation where it's at. It's disempowerment. It's a lack of understanding of the people who are abusing the victims. It's sort of trying to dominate the other gender. It's other variety of things like maintaining control of men. Like especially men. I'm saying men because dominantly it's women who are reporting men who are abusing them. But yes, in most instances, I'll say It's a power issue. It's a power control issue, whereby somebody wants to exert their power upon the other person. They want to control the other person. And in my perspective, also the economic status, like at the moment, like people are unemployed. They feel disempowered. They feel like they are emasculated because another partner is working, where women are getting higher positions. They feel like they're less competent as compared to before because there was no addressing of the situation before. There was no redress, actually, from even the apartheid system. Remember, women suffered a triple oppression. It was from colonization, it came to apartheid, and then gender inequality. So all those levels of oppression, people normalized them. They were adapted as a normal kind of a form of life. But then when redress came, it was then men had a counteract on that. Like when you listen to most men talking about women, they are talking of women as objects more than as human beings who are capable and able to think, who have their own brains, who have to stand on their own. The other issues that are driving those kind of violence are, you can say religion, because some people use religion to oppress and abuse women. You can say tradition, because some people use tradition and culture to oppress women. So I'll tell you that it's different situations that are giving birth to different kind of abuse and oppression, because some people are even abused in church. And we can't deny that, no matter how much we can try to run from that. Some people are abused because of culture, because culture believes that people should go through a certain process, or you must get married, or you must stay with a man who married you and die in your marital family. Those are some of the things that are giving unnecessary power to other genders. And also, to want to push people or to impose people to follow certain forms of culture. Like to say you are a woman, you have to do this. So when you are in the LGBTIQ groups, you are not accepted. You are prone to be abused by society because you are within the not normal kind of population. So people are not yet receptive. Well, not all, but some pockets of members of society. And because some people are still afraid to come out, you find that they are subjected to those kinds of abuses because they are forced to conform to a certain type of life when they want to live a particular type of life. Even those people who are not in the LGBTIQ groups, who are choosing to live life in a particular way, they find themselves being victimized because they choose to live in a particular way. Young women these days are choosing that they don't want to have kids, they want to prosper, they want to further their careers. You find that they're being abused for choosing that kind, and society sort of ostracized them for those kind of choices in life. Yeah, for me, from my perspective, not from anyone's perspective.
All right, so with that said, what can young people do to stand up against this and take action against GBV?
To be honest, I think young people in this generation are doing good. I think they are working hard at redressing the situation. If you look at Twitter's, the tweets that they're putting up there, they're fighting, they're being robust against discriminations, oppressions, sidelines. I think they're not permitting this to happen. And I think the only thing is that their male counterpart might be very much intimidated and become despondent in terms of working alongside them. The only good thing is where their young male counterparts towards the feminists that are rising, the new feminist generation that is rising up right now. The good thing is when they join forces with them, then it addresses the situation. But there are those who go for back and forth, who are reverting back to the old ways, who want to do things the way they were done in the olden times. But the challenge is young women now are getting educated, they're becoming independent. They're also facing new challenges in life versus the generations before them. So that is why they feel empowered to stand up and voice their concern. If you can remember, the total shutdown was mostly made up of young people, and they did a good job because they shook the situation to a point whereby the president had to address them, and then we had a GBV command center. And right now, we are having the call center where young people can call in, where people who are abused can call in. Like, GBV was not so much put on the top of the agenda, and then they felt that it was enough when it was attacking them in tertiary institutions, and they felt that this is a serious matter that needed an urgent attention. And therefore, I applaud them. I don't think they're just sitting on a situation and ignoring what is happening around them. And I'm saying they should press forward. They should not change their culture of tackling issues and combating whatever that is coming their way. And I appreciate their way of being radical in addressing issues that are coming to them, even though it freaks out the generation that are older. We know that. But then I'm saying their way of doing things, they shouldn't deflate. Instead, they must move forward. They must push with force. And they shouldn't let us, the other generation,
dictate,
to discourage them with our fears. Yes, they should not be deterred. They must push forward. Like, the same way apartheid was fought is the same way they must fight gender-based violence. And as young women and young men, I say they must stand up and fight. Because in this generation, if you don't fight for what you want, you're not going to get it. So I think they did a good thing, and they must continue. The energy they had with the total shutdown is the energy they must continue in, and they must continue with, because they did something. They did shape-shift situations that were facing the society right then, because GBV was escalating at a very faster rate. But even now, we have GBV, but it's not as bad as it was becoming fashionable, and people were just looking on helplessly without knowing what is it that is the cause of the problem. But if you look at most of the cases, it's more about disempowering young women and trying to take the control back of young men or men in particular. But I have not yet observed the behavior of younger men in this generation. But I think because they're seeing a trend, sometimes most younger people are learning from the societal trends and the social cultures that they find themselves in, and therefore they follow on. But I think they got shook by the act of the total shutdown youth that acted then. And I'm still saying we need those kind of young people who are vibrant, who are alive, who stand up, who voice their issues, who don't sit back and allow the situation to just spiral out of control. I hope I answered your question.
No, you did. You did more than answer my question. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. Lastly, I just want to ask, what can the department, or what is the intention of the department going forward? What are you going to be doing to provide support needed to make women safe?
Listen, at the moment, the challenge is how do we align whatever that we've been doing in towards supporting through technology? Because remember, most of the things have moved to doing
digital
through technology, like Zoom. Yeah, we are going digital, and we are at the social medias and in a safe space. Like, how do we do open space in a safe way? Especially addressing issues of gender-based violence. We know the risks that are attached with that, because sometimes you think you're talking to the victim and you find that you are addressing the perpetrator and you are giving them new skills of attacking the victims. But then at the same time, we are saying, how do we then use technology as a tool to access and serve those people who are in need of it, especially in terms of psychological support, mental health. We know GBV can cause serious trauma. And so even for people who are not actually experiencing GBV, but people around the person who's affected and who's experiencing gender-based violence. So how do we deal with those situations? We need to learn how technology can actually help us forward. We need to learn new ways in the new normal. And that is, I think, the challenges that we're facing right now, to say how safe, because GBV on its own, like addressing it, it needs very safe spaces. That is why people are putting shelters. That is why even areas where GBV is addressed, they need high protection and high security. So how then do we have a secure open spaces to then address? I think now we are standing at those kind of challenges. And how do we pair? Because right now we are in the COVID-19 situation. How do we pair the screening of COVID-19 with that of gender-based violence, whereby you get into a home, you are screened for GBV, and you are screened for COVID-19. How do you then also integrate the issues of GBV? How are you going to observe and see because of the kind of the situation that you are facing? I think COVID-19 disrupted lots of things because we were still coming up with the tools of addressing and screening GBV. But then it disrupted the whole processes where we had to go back to the drawing board and think, how then do we do things in a new normal? So those are some of the challenges, because you have to keep social distancing. We still have to keep social distancing and protect ourselves even when the lockdown is lifted, because remember, we still don't have the vaccine. But then how do we help people who need our help, even with the constraints that we are facing? And the resources to raise around how to access those people and their access, how do we support them even with their basic needs? Because with GBV, those people also need basic needs, because most of the time it's people who can't fend for themselves. It's people who are in a situation where they're dependent on a perpetrator. Even on a situation where they're not dependent on the perpetrator, how do you access them to guide them to say, this is how you then get out of the space you are in? But thanks to the call center for the GBV command center, whereby people can call in and support their cases and get counseling online and be helped on what to do.
Wow. Tsepi, so thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to shed some light on this topic, and long may it continue.
Thank you so much.
And if you ever decide to leave the department, I think you should start your own podcast. We are waiting for you.
Am I that talkative?
Thank you so much, Tsepiso. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much, Maggie. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
All right, so it's time for our final segment of the show, and I'm joined by Sandile from Groundbreakers. Easy, man. I see you've got some toys there in front of you. You're about to demonstrate some stuff. It's going to be get lit, Moose.
Yeah. I'm about to show you a thing or two about putting on a condom.
Okay, cool. Before we get into that, let's just talk about you and what it is that you do at the Contact Center for Groundbreakers.
First things first, my name is Sandile Pakhoi. I'm a groundbreaker for Love Life, and I'm a groundbreaker placed and based at the Contact Center for the Love Life. I'm an aspiring counselor. I've been job shadowing. I'm a professional counselor and professional psychologist in helping the masses out there through over the phone call. So I've been an upcoming counselor, a facilitator, you know, pushing the content which Love Life is about and the nation, you know.
All right, cool. Let's get to the action now, because we're all about promotion of condoms. You know, it's very key to the segment. It's very key to the show.
Yes. So as you can see in front of me, I got an artificial penis and the actual condom itself, a Max condom. We all know a Max condom. We get these free of charge everywhere's corner, bitchy beans, clinics, hospitals, police stations, everywhere you find them. So right about now, I'm about to show you guys on how to put on a Max condom. So you just gonna be checking for the expiry date in your condom. First things first, you're gonna check for the resisting air if the condom is not expired, and if there is resisting air in your condom, the condom is good to go. Then from there, you are going to like maybe push the condom slightly in towards the middle so you can be able to tear down the condom from the side. Can you see my guy?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so opening, then you're gonna check, you're gonna have your condom. You're going to check on which side it rolls. Then you're going to check, okay, it rolls on this side. Then you're going to pinch the tip of your condom, as you can see. Then you're going to place the condom on towards the penis itself, you know. Then you're going to slightly unroll the condom in towards your shaft, my guy, you know. Like a G.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, you're good to go. I mean, your condom is properly placed, you know. Then you're ready to do your thing. After doing your thing, you're going to use a towel or something to just, you know, remove the condom, you know, properly in a mannered way. Then remove the condom. So removing the condom, you wrap it up in a tissue, you throw it away. Then you're done with using your Max condom.
100%. Save sense
for everybody.
And working at the contact center, do you find that a lot of people actually don't know how to use a condom properly?
Yes, like we do get calls whereby girls would complain with like unplanned pregnancy, and they will tell you that they used condoms but they got pregnant, and you're gonna like ask yourself, how did you get pregnant and but you used the condom, you know? Trick is just those tricky things. It's sometimes ignorance at times for us. You know, like the peg itself comes with instructions on how to put on the condom, but we just ignorant towards that effect of reading those instructions and knowing how to do the thing. But slowly but surely, we are bridging the gap.
By the way, congratulations on winning the presenter search for being the Purple Couch presenter search. Yeah, well done, bro.
Thank you, Marsh. Very appreciated, eh? I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, tell us about the show, man, because I know it's going to be on Love Life's YouTube channel. It's called The Purple Couch. What more can you tell us?
So The Purple Couch is going to be a show that's is for the youth, presented by the youth, and it's going to be a show with great insightful content. You know, we're going to be showcasing what the Purple brand is all about, hence we are calling it The Purple Couch. It's courtesy of Love Life, and with a few sponsors there and there, She Conquers, BYs, the Department of Health, coming in together, we are about to put great narrative stories into the show and for the young people out there in the community and the masses.
And how can young people get a part and, you know, contribute to the show?
Young people can just, you know, follow at Love Life NGO for more information regarding the show on all social media platforms. On Facebook, we are available. On Twitter, we are available. On Instagram, we are available. And our website itself, we are available. Like, it's Love Life, www.lovelife.co.org. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Most people. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Sandile, all the best with the show. Congratulations once again. And thank you so much for the demonstration. Hopefully you've helped a lot of people, you know, watching
thank
this.
You, thank you, my G.
And next time I struggle to put the condom on, I've got you on speed dial at least now.
That's obvious, my G. I'm here.
That is Sandile from Love Life Groundbreakers. Shout out to you. Enjoy the rest of your day, my brother.
Thank you, Meg G. You too, my guy.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was, the first episode, hopefully of many. As a matter of fact, reach out on social media, hashtag unscripted normal, and let us know if you want us to do this again. And yeah, we'll make the pots happen. Hopefully you got to learn a lot more about gender-based violence, sexual productive health, and a lot more. Do get commenting, subscribe if you haven't subscribed, like, share this video so other people can learn and get information like you did. Big shout out to Love Life for making this possible. Thank you so much to our guests. Thank you so much to the National Department of Health, Soul City Institute, BYS Health, and thanks to you for watching. This has been hashtag unscripted normal. My name is Meg G. I'm Maria. Boom.
Good afternoon. Would you like to try a free sample of our double fudge brownie?
Oh, sure. That's very good. I'll just take one more, just to be sure. Yep, still very good.
Some things never change, like never being able to take just one free sample. And Geico saving folks lots of money on their car insurance.
Is that macadamia nut I taste? Let me take one more.
Sir.
Yeah, I thought so.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
You probably know you need life insurance, but you worry you'll have to deal with long applications, expensive premiums, and medical exams. Introducing EthosLife.com. With EthosLife, you can apply in minutes, 100% online. Ethos offers affordable life insurance policies from top-rated carriers with no medical exam. Now you can sleep easy at night knowing your family's financial future is protected. Visit EthosLife.com and get your free life insurance quote today. Ethos Technologies, Inc. operates in California as Ethos Life Insurance Services. Not available in all states and prices subject to underwriting and certain health questions.